What's up, everybody? It is episode 2 of Talking Baseball. We had a wild week of MLB games. Tempers flared all over. Big series. Some teams are now out of it. Some teams are way more in it. We're going to talk all about it. We got Slump Watch. We got Home Run Derby updates. We got buyers. We got sellers. And we got Who Got Mad. Let's go.
Talking Baseball.
Talking Baseball. Everyone, thank you. If you listened to the first episode or the test episodes, which are now on the feed, we appreciate you very much. I have my co-host Jake, as always, with me. He's actually in the same room as me, which don't get used to this. He's leaving after we record this. But Jake, how you doing?
I'm good, James. I'm good. We're talking baseball. You said it best. The song says it best. Yeah, man. It's been a whirlwind. Literally and figuratively, as we were doing. If you're listening to this, you probably caught some of the John Boy stuff yesterday. It was nuts from the Yankees game. And yeah, earlier in the week, it's so funny. You and I, we probably have a couple of phrases we're going to bring over from our other podcasts that we're introducing to people. But something that you say and that I've come to is that baseball moves so fast. And I think a lot of people, that's the opposite thing they think of when they think of baseball. But when you go back to, like, I was looking at Bryce Harper's big, like, RBI comeback, the Phillies against the Dodgers the other day, and I was like, that felt so long ago, just because the day-to-day in baseball with the more games, it just moves quick. So I'm excited to get our teeth sunk in. We've already had a ton of people listening and leaving reviews and stuff. Like, this is kind of episode 2, as Jimmy mentioned. We did a few before that, so we're rolling, man.
Yeah, we're actually, Jake and I have been doing podcasts for a long time, guys. Well, actually, that's not true. We've been doing podcasts for two plus years, but we've been doing a lot.
Podcast world, you know, we're like, I don't know, we're batting 400 lifetime.
We have a lot of shows. We're really excited about this one. This is the first show that we launched that already had like a following, yeah. You know? Everything else is like, hey, episode 1, 20 people listen, great.
Yeah.
Let's keep building. Over 1,000 people downloaded, I think minimum, really, across all, well, actually, I think like probably 2 across all platforms.
Yeah.
Listened to the first episode, and we were super appreciative. It's kind of like this tingling feeling, like, holy shit, like, we actually have people that are going to tune in from the get-go. Let's fucking make this work. Let's have some fun. A lot of reviews came in. If you were someone that left a review on the podcast app, before we even asked or just to be nice, like, I really, really appreciate that. And we need to get those reviews up. It's this stupid world that the podcast lives in, where if someone Googles it and they check a podcast out, the reviews hold so much weight in people's head. If you don't have a lot, it seems like it's not a real show. This is a real show, and we have a real audience. So we need you guys' help for a little bit just to bump those up. We don't have stickers yet, but I want to give stickers to everyone that leaves, like, the first 50 reviews.
We'll get you some stickers.
So
we'll find a way.
I don't know how to do it. Leave, like, your Instagram or your Twitter, or DM us your review, and then we'll get in touch. We'll send you some stickers or something. Yeah.
We'll hook it up.
I appreciate all the support.
How you doing, Jim?
I'm on, like, 5 hours of sleep, which is not as much. I went to bed at 3 a.m. last night. We do Talking Yanks and the Aaron Boone and the Savage quote, which is now the biggest story.
Yeah.
I'm always going to feel guilty whenever the Yankees are a national storyline and talking baseball, because I don't want this. I don't want our Yankee bias to, like, come on here at all. We talk enough Yanks over there.
Right.
So I'm always nervous, like, oh, shit, these guys just talk about the Yanks. But I think that is the biggest story. I think it's transcended baseball. I think it's one of the biggest stories in sports.
Yeah, and that's a lot of the guys. I mean, we'll give some kudos and not a weird pat ourselves on the back way. But, I mean, it went all throughout the baseball world. I mean, Buster Olney, guys like that. We heard Ken Rosenthal was getting involved in the action. So, I mean, the biggest names in baseball. And then just like sports guys, Colin Cowherd. He was retweeting, and I think the comment that resonated with me was like this. I think people were saying this was one of the coolest things they'd seen in baseball. This was like one of the first things, if you're not a natural baseball fan, that they felt almost like resonated with them. They're like, this is cool. This is what sports is. Like, yeah.
I have the tweet, so I'm getting a million replies and all different types of replies. And so contradicting, because that's how it is. And sports fans and even umpires. I had a lot of past umpires say, like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
That ump took it. Boone used some harsh language, but wasn't mean. Like, he really wasn't, like, mean.
Right.
And then there's other people that I think are not sports fans. They're like, why is this allowed in sports? Sports is the only place you can do this. And it's like, I understand it might be weird for you, but it's so good.
Shades of gray. I know a lot of business worlds where you can get a yell into like that. And I've gotten a couple yellings like that, and that's why I'm doing this now.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Do we start getting into the baseball or what?
Yeah. If this is your first time listening, we appreciate you stopping by, hanging out with us. If you want to watch live in the future, we are going to be posting it live on Patreon, patreon.com/JohnBoyMedia. That should grow as we go, and then a chat can start and people can hang out. It slowly grew for Talking Yanks. Now it's a fun space. I think we can do the same here. But how it works is we're going to open up with the NL and the AL report. We're always going to rotate. I did the AL last time, so I will do the NL today. Jake, are you ready for this?
I'm ready. Go get it. Catch me up.
All right, here we go. The Giants and Rockies squared off for a four-game set, including a doubleheader in which the Giants swept the Rockies. Oh, no, Rocks. Yikes. The Giants scored 40 runs in four games. They jumped the Rockies in the standings. The Rockies are now in dismay and kind of a bad place. The Dodgers and Phillies also had a four-game set, and it was crazy. Tempers flared the entire time. We had an ejection in the first game. Then we had an ejection in the second game. In the third game, I'm not sure if anything happened, but they split the series 2-2. In the fourth game, there was a lot of yelling on the field. Neris screamed. Russell Martin screamed back, said some words and all that. But that series... went 2-2, which actually is kind of a victory for the Phillies. The Reds and Cubs squared off. The Cubs won 2 of 3. Kind of that's bad for the Reds. That might push them into being sellers. The Cubs lost game one, but won the next two to take the series. Darvish got his first win at Wrigley in his 12th attempt. So good for him. Braves and Brewers squared off. That's a fun matchup. Two teams that I think are going to be solidly in the hunt for playoff wins. The Brewers beat the Braves 2 out of 3. Pirates and Cardinals. Cardinals beat the Pirates. That's rough for the Pirates because they're a team that needed to have a good start after the break. Josh Bell had a rough 1-9. More on that and other home run derby contestants later. The Nationals beat the Orioles. No, they split. The Nationals and the Orioles split. A little DMV action. One game each. Both of them were blowouts. Padres and Marlins squared off in Miami. And the Marlins won 2 of 3. I think Marlins have been better than people think they have. Brian Anderson won the series and the last game with a walk-off, so that's exciting. The Diamondbacks beat the Rangers in a two-game set. They scored 19 runs in game two, which I think they said was a franchise high. And the Mets beat the Twins. So, wow, Twins are sellers now. That's crazy. Sorry. I think they also have to delete themselves from the MLB, Jake, getting swept by the Mets when you're the Twins. That's a tough break.
Relegated.
And that is the NL report. Anything that catches your eye here?
Hey, Los Mets, congrats for beating the Twins. In Minnesota, you don't want to go there on a hot summer day. I actually would. Probably one of the nicer places in the MLB to be in the dog days of summer. Thousand Lakes, all that. No, you got the D-backs setting a franchise high for record runs scored. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's something of note. And, Braves, Brewers, you got some two really good baseball games and the one blowout by Milwaukee. I don't know. I think I snuck in a little buyer-sellers segment coming up later, Jim. So I don't want to deep dive into what the Reds are doing and all that. I mean, I'd say the stories in the National League that I think jump out are the implosion of the Rockies. They have done so bad.
Slump watch.
Yeah, the
slump watch.
We're going to be hearing about them later. Dodgers Phillies was a big series with a ton of action, and I don't know. You kind of do a shrug when you split like that, but everyone walks away from it. And I don't know what else is jumping off to you.
I thought all the National League teams beat the. Well, I had it wrong. I thought the There's that one split.
Right.
There was the national split with the Orioles, which is a huge win for the Orioles. And the Phillies splitting with the Dodgers is a huge win for the Phillies. And that the Phillies played close games.
Yeah.
Is kind of good for them. Harper kind of came to life and gave that place energy. Kapler got ejected once, got an argument twice. Like, the Phillies may not be where they want to be talent-wise.
Yeah.
But I guarantee you their organization and, like, everyone's happy. Like, they have the drama, the appeal. I can tell you from my YouTube numbers, if the Phillies are involved right now, everyone's checking it out.
Yeah, and I think the phrase I heard, because you were doing that YouTube Phillies game, and I think a couple phrases I heard, I heard one great baseball phrase. The announcer dropped, baseball's pretty simple. You're going to win 50 games a year. You're going to lose 50 games a year. Whatever you do with the other games is what matters.
It used to be 60-60, but now with how good some teams are and how other teams are tanking, it's
such
50-50.
A good baseball quote.
Oh, I love that quote. It's
such
true.
A good baseball quote. And then the other thing, and it's the vibe I've gotten from Phillies Nation, if you will, Jim, is that the Phillies haven't like played good ball this year. Like that, I feel like that's the feeling out of Philadelphia. And I think Bryce's numbers are starting to sneak up there. I think I saw some F war stuff that he's actually like having a good year when people think he's having like a down year. So I don't know. I think Philadelphia, they're a team that I'd have to look at their needs a little bit. Everyone needs pitching, but I think if they get a couple wins going and maybe bring in a fresh body or two, I think they're kind of primed to take off, or they want to be primed to take off.
Philly.
Yeah.
This year.
Yes.
They asked Kapler that in his interview, and he said, it's the worst interview ever. It was on YouTube. I should promote that. I was part of, like, the chat. It's kind of cool. I wish it was Yankees game, to be honest. But it was fun, and they asked Kapler, and he was like, I think it's more about reinforcing what we have here, which is just, like, a good non-answer by him.
Yeah, that's how you don't throw your guys under the bus. If you say, like, yeah, we could use another pitcher, you got a couple pitchers in your clubhouse that are like, oh.
But they're right in the race. They are half a game out of the wild card. Yeah. So that's good for them. They made up some ground. So I'm saying that splitting with the Dodgers was, like, a victory for them.
Yeah, and, Milwaukee technically is in the wild card right now with the – with the Nats, Atlanta still has the East, Dodgers in the West, Cubbies in the Central.
I have a National League opinion.
Okay.
I think I like the Dodgers. They're like a fantastic team.
Yeah.
This lead is too much. I think they're going to hit like a swoon.
You think they're going to do the like, we haven't played a meaningful baseball game in 3 months.
They're not going to play a meaningful baseball game until October.
Yeah. No, I don't think that's super hot take. I think that's a pretty normal sports thing. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, what do you do? I mean, what's their lead right now? Are they at
14? They're 14 games ahead.
I mean, that's insane.
It's like a good test of self motivation.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'd almost like know how teams normally rest guys the last like week or two before the playoffs and, you know, do every other game or however they want to do it. If you're the Dodgers, do you take like the first 2 weeks of September off? Just like kind of wash your hands and be like, hey, this hell of a year.
Like Yankees used to do that, let someone else manage.
Hell of a year.
Is your audio muted?
Oh, it might not be.
Yeah.
And I think from there, okay, we've got 2 weeks. You do like a new spring training. You take a couple weeks off. The season ended August 31st. You clap. You take a week off, 2 weeks off, spring training, get back into it. Because they really aren't going to play a game that means anything to them for a while. I guess you try to gear up for when the better teams in the NL, you play them. If they have a series coming up with the Cubs or I don't know, any of the teams fighting for the wild card. I guess in that moment, that's your test. But you're right. I mean, they've won. They won the West.
Sorry, I'm trying to figure out audio here. Yours was edit this out of the pod.
Okay.
Yours was super echoey because I think it was still on.
Yeah.
And then I had to switch the mic because then you were muted because I think this mic wasn't.
That mic wasn't on.
Because. Who's in the chat? Philip White's in the chat. I'm glad he let me know.
Yeah.
He said, now this is good. Okay. Yeah, it's still not going to be great because we're using like one mic between the two of us, but okay. Sound. All right. Yeah, this should be what we've been doing. Cool. Thank you for helping us fix that. Now I'm going to have to throw this up. Yeah, we'll do the editing. All right. All right, you want to jump to the AL report?
AL?
AL report brought to you by Jake Storielli.
Wow. Jimmy, the American League, the Yankees take 3 out of 4 versus the Rays in the battle at the top of the AL Beast. Would have been a sweep if not for a 3-homer game from Travis d'Arnaud. How about that? Boston takes 3 out of 4 against the Jays, not the Rays, including a dominant Chris Sale performance in the final game. They haven't seen that at Fenway in a little bit. As John mentioned, Orioles and Nats split the Beltway Series to round off the East. In the Central, John Boy's Twins, we mentioned they lost to the Mets, lost by 1, lost by 10 one game. Meanwhile, the Windians live up to their name, Jim. 4-game sweep over the Tigres. Clevinger and Bauer with double-digit strikeout games to wrap up that sex. The White Sox, they drop all 4 to the Royals and KC. Sell, 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 baby. In the West, the Stros and Halos, they split 4. Angels won the first 2. Houston comes back and gets the second 2. The A's win both games, putting up a 9 and a 10 spot over the Mariners. Mariners scored 2 each game. Not as good. And Texas forever, my friend, or maybe not, they lost both games to the Diamondbacks. They gave up a 9 spot. And as we mentioned, a record 19-burger for the D-backs.
Ooh, I think the Texas went to Arizona, and usually they have advantage of people coming to Texas and not being able to handle the heat.
Right.
They went to Arizona, and I was like, this is cool.
Nullified.
Yeah. Like, oh, shit.
This feels good.
This is real heat.
Yeah.
Arizona was the home team, right?
I believe so.
I think so as well.
Yeah. Otherwise, we have to throw out that whole theory.
Yeah. Anyway, shocked. I was so busy with our event and everything that I didn't check the AL scores. I was a little out of tune than I'd like to be. And when you said that the Indians swept the Tigers, that's the biggest series. That's the biggest result of a series in the AL. Well, Rays and Yankees, but that one's huge for the Indians.
And Jim, I think the bigger thing, and I'm gonna start patting myself on the back. That series was actually in Texas, so heat theory is out.
Out.
But even worse look for Texas.
Well, no, okay. So usually teams come to Texas,
right?
And the Texas heat gets them. Arizona was like, "This is nice. This is nice, chilly. What are you talking
relaxing.
About?
Yeah. Okay, we got it. We knew there was a heat theory in there. We just had to get there.
Yeah.
Jim, I'm gonna start patting myself on the back as I try to build myself up every day. I told you I was buying stock in the Indians.
Yeah, you did.
4-game sweep over the Tigers. So, I mean, and the Tigers are sneaking towards one of the worst records in baseball. Them and the Orioles are both at 29
wins. Yeah, they haven't won 30 games yet.
So, it's not a big flex by them. But, Jim, with the Twins losing those 2 games, now as we sit here, and by the way, if you are listening at home, we do it series by series. So if a team starts a new series on a Thursday night, we're if there's something we need to talk about, we'll talk about it. But we're going series to series. As it stands right now, Cleveland's 4 games back. And that's the tightest race in the AL. Oakland is sneaking up on Houston, but not to be rude to our new A's fans. I mean, Houston is one of the clear favorites to win it all, so there's not a huge threat there until maybe they play and something happens. Cleveland's going to make a run at it. They've got their pitching back. Kluber is supposed to come back at some point. If they get him instead of I saw Adam Plutko, I think he won the first game with like 5 innings, 5 earned runs. Cleveland's going to make a push, and I think that might end up being some great baseball down the stretch, because it's kind of the it's going to be the classic baseball. I mean, the Indians, sure, they have a couple stars, but they're built on their pitching. Minnesota is clearly built on their hitting in the gopher ball. So we might end up getting some really good baseball at the AL Central.
All right. The Indians I'd be nervous of is Twins. Twins just lost 2. Indians just won 4. Their pitching's good. Like you said, the Tigers, it's not beating the Tigers isn't something to celebrate. And I'm sorry if we have Tigers fans listening.
Yeah.
But sweeping a team, and this is where some, like, I know Yankees fans do this, like, you can, a 4-game sweep is impressive no matter who you play. And you just can't downplay it. Like, that's That's a good. That sets the Indians up nicely.
Yeah, and maybe the best news for Minnesota, Jim, is that the rest of that AL Central has now gone to complete schmutz with the White Sox coming out and going 1-9 in their last 10. Detroit is also 1-9 in their last 10. Kansas City 7-3 in their last 10, but they're still 36-62. So Minnesota, if you're them, you say, hey, if we can manage our Cleveland games and just take care of the rest of the division, we should still be good the rest of the way. But it'll be interesting to see how those head-to-head series goes and what else comes in their way.
Yeah.
Any, I don't know, anything else jump out to you from the AL, Jim?
No, like we said, the Yankees taking 3 of 4 from the Rays was kind of big. It was 6 games. Yankees had a 6-game lead.
For the doubleheader.
Before the series. Then they split the first two. So it could have been a big swing. A sweep would have brought it 2 games, which would have been, I mean, I would have been so shook as a Yankee fan. Or 10 games back.
Yeah.
But the Yankees take 3 of 4, so it's now at 8, which is sizable. The Yankees and the Rays don't play each other again until September, and it's just 2 games. It's at the very back end of the season. Hopefully those don't matter. So this was the last chance for these teams to do damage against each other because, you know, when you play each other, it's worth 2.
Right.
It's a win and a loss. So the Rays are going to need other teams to do their bidding for them, and the Yankees have 8 games in the next 2 weeks coming up against the Red Sox.
Yeah.
So the Yankees have the Yankees might get to a Dodger standpoint if they have a good 2 weeks.
Wow. Do you want to take that Dodger take back now?
No.
Do you want the Yankees to lose to the Red Sox? That seems like something you'd say. I think I heard that on the last ESPN broadcast.
I want between 6 and 10 from here out.
Okay. I like that.
Once you get the 15, you're struggling to find reasons to play.
No, that's fair. Yeah, Rays are now 10 back in the loss column. And you're right. I mean, Boston Yankee series coming up, 8 games in 2 weeks. I mean, that's going to paint a lot of the picture. So, I don't know. I think we get into the major storylines because I think the buy sell teams are one of the bigger topics in baseball now. The AL has sorted itself out. The NL hasn't. But before then, Jim, I think we want to go into some suspension, some throwback beanball. Not really, but I don't know. I mean, you're obviously all over this with the breakdowns and stuff. I don't know if you have a lean with Mariznick or Naris or what do you want?
Yeah, so we had Mariznick. If you remember the Lucroy slide
tackle
at the plate, got him pretty bad. He felt bad about it, but he got suspended for it. So they play each other again. And Mariznick takes a pitch too high for my liking.
Yeah.
Now, I know that, like, some people are like, you're a pussy, but I'm not down. I don't watch
baseball. Are they right or wrong?
I am a pussy in some regards. Yeah. Cool. I do not watch baseball. Actually, I don't watch baseball to see, like, huge plays at the plate.
Right.
If you were asking me, what do you love about baseball?
Right.
To get down to, like, huge collisions at the plate.
Yeah.
Or pitches near a guy's head. It's not part of what I watch.
No.
I don't care about that. And I think this pitch was too high. Either the pitcher, Ramirez, Mariznick, aimed too high, and that's dirty, and I don't like that. Or he was aiming lower, missed his spot.
That was his miss.
And that's if you can't do it right, don't do it. That's like what CC and a lot of players do.
Yeah.
So I didn't like it, but Mariznick comes out as the biggest winner in this whole thing for me. He goes to first base. His bench is full of people that are screaming, that's too high, that's too high, blah, 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 it's Bush League, don't hit him in the head. You know, eye for an eye, the whole world goes blind.
Mm. Mahatma Gandhi.
Pujols turns around, he's like, enough, shut up. I think that's what Pujols. I edited the breakdown, I haven't posted yet.
Yeah, him and the ump were just looking at the dugout, and we're just like,
stop. Yeah, and Mariznick is eventually tells them, stop.
Yeah.
I knew I was getting hit. It sucks it was a little higher than I wanted.
Yeah.
But stop. I hurt that guy, and I didn't mean to. So just shut up. So I think McCullers came out looking like a big time.
Whoa.
I'm being careful because we have a new audience that doesn't know my voice yet.
He looks like the guy from MTV.
Yeah, which I don't like. But like, I use the word loser and idiot so flippantly.
Right.
Where I don't actually like...
You could call Lance McCullers that. You could call me or yourself that in the next sentence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But some people that they'll don't know my voice like think they'll it's adapt. Like, whoa, he's mean. And it's like...
They're hearing that voice right now.
I think McCullers... I think McCullers looked like a loser in this exchange. I think Mariznick looked like a big-time winner. And I think the pitcher that hit him kind of looks... just inexperienced.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe it was the wrong guy to do it.
That's not a bad way to put it. Yeah, that was mine. Normally I just talk and hope I stumble into something and find something. With this, I'm pretty confident. I mean, he was going to get thrown at. You're right. The pitch came in a little too high. And again, we don't know if that was the intent or if that was his miss. Like, he aimed for the hip and it ended up there. Mariznick ends up taking it off the shoulder and he walks down to first. And that's one of my personal gripes with baseball right now is that, like, that should have been it. Like, move on. But instead, the dugout starts chirping out. Now you guys got doing the one leg over the dugout. Like, are we doing this? Here comes the bullpen. And, like, that escalated the whole thing. And I don't think Ramirez gets suspended if none of that happens. If Mariznick just went to first and that was it and they played ball, I think you're good. But now because guys are chirping from the dugout, the bullpen comes running in, he gets suspended, which I think that's messed up.
I don't think the bullpen came running in, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, just the dugout being there, I thought they did. But anyways, and then the other thing about this whole incident that made me mad was Hinch, the Astros manager after the game, was given the whole, you know, there's gray areas in baseball and you just can't be doing this. And it's like, yeah, man, but right now you're living in this gray area. And if you were the guy that had your catcher bowled over and laid out and taken off the field, your team would have been the one throwing at it. So, like, I don't know. There's a lot of quotes and a lot of things you have to say in this situation, and part of it's that. But all of this kind of got escalated for no reason. And it's why you hear, you know, the old guys on the broadcast getting mad. They're like, this, you know, Bob Gibson, you were lucky if you could walk after he hit you in the batter's box. And you're like, what are you talking about, Jim Cott? Love Kitty
I love
Cott.
Jim Cott. Love that Kitty was Cott. That was so that was an
But he's Jim Cott was old 20 years ago. I'm not trying
come
to be rude.
On, come on.
I'm not trying to be rude. I looked up his stats one day. I was like, "Oh my God. So many gold gloves, really cool." But anyways, I just think there was an unnecessary baseball multiplier in that, which I think could have been dodged. And I mean, now Ramirez gets suspended, and I think that's the problem. We've gotten away from the baseball, like, hey, dude, you sent our catcher to the hospital. We're going to hit you with the pitch. Mariznick did everything right, like you said, and they just people didn't move on because they wanted to be loud and chirp and all that.
I'm fine with the suspension.
Yeah. I don't like it. I just think if you took out the chirping from the dugout, I think we throw the next pitch and game on.
I don't think so because Neris, that's the other storyline.
Right.
It's the same thing. He throws at a guy's head. And gets 3 games, right?
Yeah, they both get 3 games.
Which, as a pitcher...
As a relief pitcher.
It's not that much.
Yeah.
It's really maybe 1 game that they can't use you. But this one is funny, and I did the breakdown of this one. And this one's funny because... who was it? Verdugo hits... Was it Verdugo? Forget it. Yeah, it was Verdugo hit a big home run to take the lead. And the next pitch is at David Freeze's head. Same thing. Hits him in the back of the shoulder. Just too high. And Realmuto's reaction behind the dish, he doesn't even go for the ball to try and catch it. And then he looks at his pitcher and shrugs like, dude, really?
Yeah.
So it's very much intentional on purpose. I'm fine with that suspension. And that's why I think that the Ramirez one's the same deal. It's very clearly intentional. It was too high. Same exact suspension. I don't think the Ramirez got suspended because of the bench is clearing. I think that's what happens.
But I don't know. I just think if none of the funny business happens, because look, I have the video in front of me now. The baseball game's about to go on, and Pujols and the first base ump are just looking at the dugout like, what the hell are you guys doing? Like, just stop.
I agree with you, but I just don't think that had any influence on the suspensions.
Agree to disagree. Are you saying dith?
Saying dith right now.
The
biggest storyline that we talked at the break is the Boone rant.
Savages, Jim.
Which I got. And I want to do what we did a little bit of yesterday, Jake. I'll do it quickly, is to just explain why I love this quote so much. And we have it on a T-shirt at Talkin' Yank Store, and I'm going to put that on the screen for anyone watching live because the full quote's there, and you need to read it to understand how good it is.
Right.
I'm going to break it down real quick.
We can do it together. Real quick.
So the umpire, it's his fifth ever MLB game. Young kid, shook from the jump. I never seen Gary Sanchez turn around and be like, what? You didn't call that a strike? Gary's made faces before, but never turned around and like, dude. So there was a lot of pitches. Both sides. I heard that the Rays broadcast said what we said. Like, it was just a race to see which manager can use this to fire up his guys.
Yeah.
And Boone got there first because some manager was getting ejected because this ump was brutal.
It was bad.
It was really – and it was so clear that he was young and shook.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Boone gets out there. He goes, my guys are fucking savages in that box. Yeah. We had a lot of people say, what does that mean? It means they're beasts.
Yeah.
They protect the plate. They know the zone. They attack pitchers. They don't get got often. Yeah, they don't get got. Yeah. And the pitcher was like striking him out with ease. He's like, dude, that's your fault because you're expanding the zone. My guys are savages. You're making this look like this. He goes, and you're having a piece of shit start to this game. I feel bad for you.
Yeah.
Just honest. Insult and honest. I feel bad for you. We don't want to ride you. We know you're young. We know you're a rookie.
Good dig.
But fucking get better. Now he's trying to instruct him. Little coaching moment, you know, teachable.
He's a coach.
He goes, this guy's a good pitcher. I'm not trying to diss him.
Yeah, he compliments the pitcher.
Compliments
Chirinos.
He's
really
like, he's
smart.
Good. He's good, man.
That's smart.
This isn't like, you know, it's nothing. But our guys are fucking savages in that box.
Yeah.
Tighten it up right now, okay? Tighten this shit up. He goes, dad mode. And the ump just kind of looked at him with a sad face. He gets out of there. I mean, I said this. If you think that using the word savage is cringy or corny.
Yeah.
I somewhat see what you're saying, but if you think Yankees players don't fucking love it,
yeah,
and it's now going to be a mantra for the Yankees and a rallying cry, so Boone just sparked a lot of stuff. I think it's fantastic. It went national. People that don't like baseball are seeing it.
Yeah.
And the reactions are mostly like, this is awesome.
Positive, yeah. It's I mean, anyone that's played any sport ever, you know, we were laughing. You told an old hockey story the other day where a coach dropped like a – it was a high school coach. He referenced like a rap song at the time that you guys thought he was ignoring all year, and then he dropped it. And you guys were like – it's little things. It's very little things. And that's kind of – I think that's part of the beauty of sports, that there's all these little things that add up and they make the difference, whether it's a rap song in high school or whether, I mean, if you want to jump to football and it's like doing things the Patriots way or doing the thing the Cleveland Browns way. They're both football teams for 20 years, but if you do all the little things right, you're one team. You do all the little things wrong, you're the other. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, the Yankees were already on a war cry this season. Obviously, Boston winning last year. The Yankees as a team have truly gotten better overall. Again, we're pretty close to their pulse. And just comparing last year's depth and roster to this year's roster, this team is a lot better. So yeah, I mean, this is going to be their rallying cry going forward.
Yep. All right. We had some just little trade talk stuff, cause we're 2 weeks away.
Yeah.
People are saying Boyd is available on the Tigers. He would go for a lot. Mike Minor on the Rangers says he's sick of trade talks.
Yeah.
I think the Rangers need to be sellers, but we'll see what they do. They have so much to sell. Cincinnati Reds have reportedly attached an exorbitant price tag on starting pitcher Luis Castillo. He's got 4 years of control left.
Yeah.
Not money, but like 4 years of, like, he's on your team. Some arbitration in there. And he would be worth a lot.
Yeah, and he's, 2.41 ERA this year, 9-3 with a 3.7 WAR. On a team that technically, and I think this is a rude way to look at it, but I think they're technically the third worst team in the NL. I think that's unfair because I think they're like 6.5 out of the wild card, but that's where this conversation is heading eventually. They're the second worst. The Mets have jumped the Cincinnati Reds. They're the second worst team in the NL, but they also have a positive differential. I got to stop because we're going down another road. But yeah, I don't know. The Boyd one really interests me, Jim. Because, again, as you know, being on the pulse from Yankees land, the Yankees were rumored to be in on Michael Fulmer a year or two ago when his value was extremely high. Fulmer, for lack of a better term, ate shit and he pitched poorly, and now he's been hurt, and his value is nowhere. So, and the Tigers, they're kind of on, what would you say, like a three-year rebuild plan? Like, the next 2 years are finding out assets and getting young guys, and then in that third year, they're hoping that they have a little bit of a nucleus and maybe can sign a free agent or two and make moves. So they're...
I have no idea. I don't know their farm system, but they're far away right now.
Yeah, I think, and that's the thing with Matt Boyd, because he does have the team years of control. I mean, the question is, if you're one of the big boys out there, I mean, you know, does Matt Boyd come in and change anything, whether you're the Yankees or another one of these big teams? I mean, he's had a really solid year. We saw him tear up the Yanks earlier this season. So I don't know. I think that's the interesting one, because if you use some recency stuff there, you'd like to think Detroit would make a move if they get the right offer. Maybe they don't, and he's a young guy they can keep and move along. Like, I guess that's another angle if we're Tigers fans here, which, by the way, we have an elevator talk segment coming at the end of the episode. If you think your team's not going to get a lot of love, they might be there.
Yeah, I might tell you how the Tigers currently only have one player with an OPS above 800.
That's tough. That's tough. So yeah, I think if you're the Tigers, you don't have to be in a rush to move Matt Boyd. But, I mean, if you get an enticing package...
I think they should.
...for a guy that didn't have almost any value to start the season,
yep.
You probably make your move there.
I think they definitely should trade Matt Boyd, because I don't think their window coincides with Matt Boyd's window. I think they're 2 years away from having a window.
Right.
Like, they gotta establish, and this would be the first step of, like, we trade him, we get some prospects, okay. But I could be speaking out of turn, because I'm not familiar with their farm system.
No, and I think the other thing that, you know, I've been scheming about lately is that I think there might not be a lot of pitchers actually available at this trade deadline.
Well, if Stroman's available, Baumgartner's available, if Boyd and Castillo are available, then that's a lot.
Yeah, but I mean, Luis Castillo is available. I mean, you're going to have to pay.
Clint Frazier.
Because he's, no, I mean, you're going to have
plus.
To pay.
Clint plus Davey.
I think.
Yankees could do it.
Keep going. They can. But
and I don't think it hurts them.
It's a matter if Brian Cashman, who he's invested so much time into these young guys, and we've already seen him stick by them, I don't think Luis Castillo would be the guy he trades in all his chips for.
Oh, I want, that's my new want.
Okay, I like that.
Because then you can pay Didi in the next season, you can pay guys because you have a pitcher locked up for cheap.
Yeah.
I think it opens up a whole plan if the Yankees have the talent, like Clint Frazier, Davey Garcia plus for Castillo, I'd do it. Florial. I'd trade those three for him.
Yeah, I mean it would have to be three big ones.
Yeah.
Three big ones. So we'll see if anything comes to that. I don't know. And whenever you hear the phrase exorbitant price tag, you wonder what's going on over there. And then, yeah, Mike Minor, I think we're about to talk about the Tejas Rangers a little bit. He's sick of trade talks, Jim.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I would be too.
Sorry, but yeah, I mean, it kind of does suck. Just Googling your name every day and it's like, oh, I'm... Where am I getting traded today? Oh, the Cubs like me? The Yanks like me?
Yeah, on the YouTube broadcast of the Dodgers-Phillies game, they talked about Verdugo, and he said he was happy because this is the first season where his name isn't linked to trade talks.
Yeah.
He was like, so I think I've cemented myself here. Because they got a lot of outfielders, too.
And that's got to be stressful as a minor leaguer, man. You're about to start, like, your life.
I think you have to just be like,
yeah,
whatever.
Right, but it's a tough mental hurdle to
do
that.
Yeah, yeah.
Jim, let's go. I threw a little buy sell segment in here, not players or teams or anything like that. Literally buyers or sellers, because we had some stuff sorted out in the AL. The White Sox were still dancing around it. They get swept. They're out. They're now 11 games out of the wild card. Like they don't have.
I never thought they were in.
Right, and I think that's a little bit of perception. And I don't think you're wrong about it, because I think I perceive the same thing. But now it's like the front office doesn't have an argument. Like, the front office can't be like, well, we have a good week. We get back over 500. This team puts some stuff together. We get guys healthy. They've got nothing anymore.
I don't talk to White Sox fans, but if I'd be shocked if a White Sox fan told me they thought they were going to be buyers this season.
Well, I mean, think about how they started their year, Jim. They thought they were getting Machado and Harper. They still signed a bunch of guys, and they believe in their young core. But they just got swept four games by the Royals, and then before that, they got swept by the Athletics. They've lost their they lost seven games this week, Jim.
I know. I the fact that people thought they might trade four people is blowing my mind. Like, I don't think I'd be shocked if a White Sox fan thought they were going to do that.
Right, but I mean, a week ago they were 42-44. They were saying, "Hey, we have a good 7 days. We're kind of in the mix again." And it's almost like it's a little bit more of an NBA mindset, but it's almost like this building a culture, and that's kind of what the White Sox were trying to do with all this.
Well, they have done that. They've done a really good job with that.
Well, I'm not talking about their dugout stuff. Would you say they have a fun dugout and you've seen a lot of their antics? I'm just talking about like kind of winning ways so that when there are free agents, they want to go to the White Sox because they clearly ran into that this year that guys don't want to come there.
Yeah.
So they're trying to build it up while they get some of their young guys healthy, Kopech's back next year, all that. The only two fringy teams at this point, Boston, they did the Cashner trade. Right now, they're two games behind. It's Texas and the Angels. Texas is now 4.5 out of the wild card, and the Angels are 5.5 out. And I think one of the important things you have to consider, ahead of them is Houston, so it's not like you're catching Houston under any circumstances. And the A's, who are currently in the wild card, playing good baseball, 8-2, I don't know. I just think for a lot of owners and teams, it's a big mental hurdle. For the Texas Rangers, who are 50-46, you know, four games above 500, for them to say it's time to sell, that's tough. But you and I are both very much like, yo, Texas, you guys have some serious assets, and you've got your young guys, and they're doing good things. Build it up for next year. Because right now, the odds of you guys jumping Boston, Tampa, and Oakland, I mean, slim meet none.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think Texas or the Angels are buyers.
Yeah, and it's just, I mean, it's still a mental hurdle to say you're 4.5 games out and not do it. I mean, the Rangers have lost their last four. That helps. Because, again, yeah, you start playing that game. Well, even if they split those two games, they would have been 52-44. They would have been like a game and a half out of the wild card. But yeah. It's funny how much these crucial weeks are into deciding that. I think both teams should be sellers. It's tough to say that as a team, though. The real story is the National League, Jim. We currently have 9 teams within 6 games of the wild card. We have 7 teams within 4.5, and then we've got 4 within 2.5. The part that gets me about the National League is I can tell you San Diego is 4 games out of the wild card, but they're 46-50. They're 4 games under 500.
Yeah, it's like what you said last week. You can't look at games behind. You have to look teams behind, and they're all going to play each other. So it's, yeah, like if someone's telling me the Mets are 6 games out of the wild card, they're in it. I'm sorry, they're not. Pirates, you're not. San Diego, you're not. Colorado, you're not. San Francisco, you're going on a nice run here, you're not. It's St. Louis and Philly and Milwaukee and Washington in a 4-team race for the wild card with some divisions up for grabs still.
No love for your D-backs. Yeah, and
they're 49-48.
I know, after having like a solid stretch. And this is kind of what baseball wanted when they made the second wild card. As an organization, it's tough to just hit that button and sell. I think like a team like Arizona, I mean, Robbie Ray has been mentioned. I guess you see what value's out there for him.
I think you're coming from a fan perspective.
Well, yeah, that's who's listening.
Oh, because, well, when you say the organization's tough to hit that button and sell, I think organizations are itching to hit that button.
Oh, no, they're not either because, I mean, think about it. What if Arizona doesn't sell and they end up winning 87 games and they have a respectable season? They push the sell button and they end up with 76 wins at the end of the year?
Yeah,
they could get axed.
Yeah, but...
So you got to look at it both ways.
But selling and rebuilding is so hot right now. Like, people are... buying teams just to do it. It's like the first thing you do when you get a new team. Let's resell.
Reset.
The best thing that happened to the Yankees was having a bad year in 2016.
Yeah.
It was the best thing that could have happened to them. And there's a lot of teams that saw that and saw the Cubs go bad and saw Astros go bad and say, like, oh, fuck. If we hit rock bottom, we
this
can,
is
like,
the new way.
This is the new way. So I think if you're a Rangers GM and right. you have a brain, you know selling right now all those pieces is so much better for your future.
Yeah.
So I know the fans, it might be hard, but anyone in the organization, they're smart enough to know.
It depends on your owner dynamic. It depends on expectations. Like Texas, you're probably right. They had low expectations this year. They overachieved, and man, if they could get some pieces for Lance Lynn, Mike Minor, Pence. Hunter Pence, they can really do something.
I think they even have more, Jake. I think they have, I think like Andrews, like I think they have.
They got assets.
Yeah.
Assets. Hey, good for the San Francisco Giants.
All right. Is it time to move on to our segments?
Let's roll it. Segment o'clock.
All right. Moving on to standout performance.
Standout performance.
It's like the one voice we do.
Oh, I got voices.
Standout performance. I'm going to go first. You went first.
Go first.
You
yeah,
went
yeah,
first.
Yeah.
You went first last time.
And
episode.
It's your guy.
My standout performance is Glenn Sparkman.
Lennon and Sparkman.
Lit a spark okay. in Kansas City.
Ooh, that's good.
Ooh.
That's good spark. I get it.
Yeah. Glenn Sparkman went 9 innings pitched, 5 hits, 0 earned runs. They call that a complete game shutout, Jake.
Yeah, man.
8 Ks. He had 6 1-2-3 innings. I always like looking at that when guys have complete games.
I like
how
that.
Many 1-2-3 innings did
he
have?
How clean were you?
Yeah, how clean? Yeah, yeah. He escaped 2 jams. One was like one base runner. 6 1-2-3 innings, and a lot of them were towards the end. First complete game of his career, so congrats to him. He was out of the pen mostly last year
yeah.
and the beginning of this year. Made his first start this season on May 29th. Made 3 starts last year, something like that. His best start before this was 7 innings pitched, 1 earned run. Complete game shutout. It's the Royals' first complete game shutout in 2 years.
Yeah.
Wow. Good for him. It's a great performance. Did I say who he did it against
Good
yet?
Good job, Glenn. Oh, it's against the
White
Sox.
They
yeah.
swept him. Yeah, so, yeah. Glenn Sparkman's got dyed blonde hair.
Might go asterisk there.
He's got dyed blonde hair, and he was the one that hit Tim Anderson with the changeup in Tim Anderson's first at-bat against the Royals after the whole fiasco, and he got ejected, and he was like, that was a changeup, Blue.
Yeah, changeup.
And it was like, yeah, you probably didn't hit him on purpose, but that's the worst timing ever,
yeah.
Glenn. Like, the worst timing yeah. ever. First pitch to Tim
just
Anderson.
Don't do that, Glenn Sparkman.
Almost should have just dirted him, otherwise you were going to get ejected. But anyway, that's a great outing by him. That's the best performance I saw from this.
From Ganado, Texas.
Wow.
Gorgeous. Haven't been.
You think he's a big Eminem fan? Why do you think he dyes his hair blonde?
He looks damn good.
Wow.
Looks damn good. Yeah, man, career 5.03 ERA. Gets the CGSHO. Good for you, Glenn. You go, Glenn Coco.
Yeah.
Jim, my standout performance, and I didn't want to do this, and I'll, again, you and I, as we go along this, we're battling our Yankees bias and not biases, but when I looked at the stats, he was the guy. It's Travis d'Arnaud.
Yeah.
3-homer game from Travis d'Arnaud. Sorry. Sneeze there. This was the first game of the Rays-Yanks series. And like we mentioned, this was kind of a big series. If the Rays made some noise this series, they were basically saying, we're going to be a thorn in your side the rest of the way. The Yanks have a huge Edwin Encarnacion home run, tied at 2s. They go up 4-2, bottom of the 8th. Aroldis Chapman comes in. He's going to shut the door. D'Arnaud hit 2 solo shots earlier off James Paxton, just to opposite field. And I also need to mention to you that the last series the Yankees saw the Rays, Travis d'Arnaud hit a walk-off to the opposite field. So there's some pitch selection stuff, and if you really want to deep dive into that, we did it on Talking Yanks. But Travis d'Arnaud, who's kind of this journeyman at this point, Jimmy, started the season on the Mets. They just cut him.
Yeah.
The Dodgers picked him up. They sold him to the Rays. So think about that. The Los Angeles Dodgers sold him to the Rays. And Jim, he provided all the runs in this game. It was a 5-4 win for the Rays. He had all 5 RBIs, 3 home runs. And Jim, man, the Travis d'Arnaud story, he was a big prospect. He was with the Mets. He was the number six prospect in 2013. And then he got metzed. He got injured.
Well, he got traded for Dickey.
He got traded for the Dixer.
Right, with Syndergaard.
That was when his shine was kind of already down because he ran into the injury bug a lot. And we forget, man, how important that really is for athletes. So, man, for him to do that on the New York stage, that must have been a really good feeling for him because he was basically beating the Yankees and the Mets in one swing by taking the headlines that day.
Hey, check this out.
Travis
d'Arnaud was drafted by the Phillies.
Yep.
In 2007. Wow.
Yeah, man.
Whoa. How old is d'Arnaud?
The road to baseball, 30.
Whoa. I thought he was younger than that. Anyway, he was traded to the Blue Jays for Holiday. And then the Blue Jays traded him to the Mets for Syndergaard, and Dickey was involved in there. So there's a lot of good pitchers involved in his transactions.
You're linked to that, Travis.
Then the Mets release him, yeah.
And
he's batting leadoff for the Rays.
Yeah, because he was hot, and the Rays kind of do that stuff. Yeah, he caught the whole game. And, Jim, the other part that was important that you just – if you know baseball, you know this feeling – Chapman comes in and his stuff was looking good. He had an 0-2 count and he gave up a single. He had two strikes on Kiermaier and Kiermaier slapped one through the hole. So then there's two outs. And it's like, who's coming up to the plate? It's the guy who's hit two home runs this game.
First
Chapman. And it was just like, we're not going to go on our high horse right now because we're riding that high horse. We're doing some good things for New Age baseball. Like, this is what baseball needs to be telling people about. That, like, Travis d'Arnaud in this game came up with two outs in the ninth against Aroldis Chapman, and he did the damn thing. It was a slider away, and he short porched it a little bit. So good for you, Travis. Get out of my face.
He was really locked in. A lot of Rays fans, because, I mean, shots fired, Rays fans are... I keep getting in my place where I don't want to say things on this national.
You can say it.
A lot of
the
Rays fans that interact with me on Twitter are new to baseball fandom and kind of like just are a little off on the scope of things.
Sure.
And like the day to day of baseball. But they were upset that we were saying like Chapman had bad pitch selection because they're like, d'Arnaud was locked in. I was like, whoa, he was as locked in as you can see a batter.
Yeah.
It was impressive what he did. But it's also a little poor pitch selection. But I'm not trying to knock anything.
No.
That's a good standout performance because that game, three home runs with the walk-off.
Yeah, and I think...
it's impossible not to give that kudos.
When I was looking to see who was hot, I don't think no one hit like four home runs in a series. So d'Arnaud had the most series home runs in one game.
Yeah.
So you get it.
All right. Let's move on.
Watch.
To a fun one.
Slump Watch. Starting off with your guy?
Well, we got to update.
This is
how I've decided to do it, Jake. Once you're on Slump Watch, you're on Slump Watch until you're off.
You got to work
last
your way
week,
off.
I gave it to Dwight Smith Jr. and Pete Alonso.
Yeah.
Dwight Smith Jr. had one game. It was a two-game set, and he played one of them, and he went 0-4.
Yeah.
So he's now like
you're not off the slump
0
watch.
For his last 25 or something like that. So Dwight Smith Jr. still on slump watch. Alonso, he was 1-10. Now in the two games versus Minnesota, he did bad. He was 2-19 with 10 Ks. He did hit a home run last night, but that'll be part of Monday's show. So for now, Alonso's kind of on slump watch.
Right.
And all the home run derby contestants besides Bregman and Chapman are on slump watch, basically.
Tell them, Jim.
I had the numbers. I don't have them in front of me, but they all aren't doing great, besides Bregman and Chapman, who did bad in the home run derby.
Yeah.
But
Vladdy was doing bad.
Vladdy, Jock, Bell,
Alonso.
Santana, Alonso, all doing very poor since the derby.
So you, all you home run derby truthers out there, save that when your guy wants to enter next year.
I got a fun slump watch that's a little mean.
Okay. Interested.
Charlie Tilson. You know who Charlie Tilson
CT.
Is? I would guess a lot of our guys don't know who Charlie Tilson is.
You don't think we have a lot of Charlie Tilson fans listening? Right
He's
now.
On the White Sox,
yeah.
Who we've talked about a good amount. He is the defensive replacement for Eloy Jimenez.
Yes.
He comes into a lot of games. I don't know why. Maybe there's an injury. Something happened. He's been starting a good amount recently. He started 5 of the last 7 games he appeared in, a couple this weekend, right?
Yeah.
In that 7-game stretch, 5 starts, 2 pinch hit, or 2 defensive replacement, some at-bats there. 1-17. With one walk and one hit by pitch. So whoever walked you, you're shamed.
Yeah. Shame.
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 Charlie Tilson, he's a defensive replacement, so he's not on the White Sox for his bat. They're not in a win now mode.
Yeah.
Good for you that you're getting some run, but, I mean, you got to start hitting, dude.
That's tough. You think that hit by pitch felt good?
Oh, yeah. He loved that.
That was a good hit by pitch.
He was like, thank God. I wonder where it came in. Like, first pitch hit by pitch is such a win for Charlie Tilson.
Yeah.
Okay, great. I'll put my speed on the bases.
Woo! Let's go.
Dare you to hit me. I woke up begging for a hit by pitch.
I dare you. Hit me harder next time.
Yeah. Let's see who it was. It was a Cub hit him. Wow.
Which Cub?
Wow. He got his hit by pitch and his walk in the same game. I wonder if it was the same pitcher. If it's the same pitcher that hit him that also walked him, and those are the only two times he's reached base in the last seven games,
yeah,
that's not a good look.
Ooh, slump watch can turn mean on the pitchers really quick.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
the guy that gave up the hit to Dwight Smith or whatever.
John Lester walked him.
Ooh.
Wow.
Big one.
And John Lester, Craig Kimball hit him. Some premier names, Charlie Wilson.
Yeah, Charlie.
Charlie Tilson.
Charlie Wilson.
Charlie Wilson's
He's fighting
wah.
The war
Charlie
out there.
Wilson's wah.
Nice, man.
Who you got on Slump Watch?
Yeah, man, I wrote a couple names on there. I like seeing who's got the biggest offer going. We had Elias Diaz of the Pirates and your guy Jay Bruce, who's usually very hot or very cold.
He's back? I thought he got injured.
No, he's back.
Oblique injury. He's coming back from an injury. That's too mean.
Oh, wow.
That's too mean, Jake.
Wow. Too mean for the injury.
No, he exited with an oblique strain 2 days ago.
Okay. So get better.
Yeah.
Get better, Jay. Oh, so it's a fake injury. We got it now.
No. Did you see it? So he swings and it's like the Judge one.
Yeah.
And he immediately grabbed at his oblique and it's like, oh. Mm. So it's probably going to be out for a while. Obliques are fucking
Get better,
suck.
Jay.
And now he's on slump watch, which that's so mean of you.
That's tough.
That was pretty brutal.
That's how the cookie crumbles sometimes.
Jay Bruce likes cookies too.
Loves a good cookie. And Jim, I wanted to get a couple throwers in there. I mean, Jesse Chavez on Texas, he had some bad numbers. Pitching in Texas to those Diamondbacks who set their franchise record. That's going to be a bad look for someone.
Or you think this is hot?
Yeah.
Come to Arizona.
We got the heat. You don't even know.
We sweat in air conditioning.
And Jim, I just threw your guys on there. The Colorado Rockies, did you say they're 2-11 since the break or 2-11 in their last 13?
13, yeah.
A team that was looking like they were going to battle for that wild card throughout has one of the most brutal stretches of their season. We're going to get a good look at them soon because they're playing the Yankees this weekend. Which in our head we're thinking is going to be a full out death punch for them.
I hope so.
But yeah, I was looking for pitchers to put on the slump watch area, and searching it by ERA, there was four Colorado guys in the top 12. Freeland, Tinoco, my guy, Sanzatella, and Chad Bettis, all with ERAs that are over 11.25. So again, it's small sample size and ERA. You can't just do that. But the Rockies are getting roughed up. I'm sorry.
Sorry. Rockies are on slump watch.
They're on big slump watch.
They're about to be on hide the knives watch.
Ooh, yeah. We've never put a team on that yet.
The Yankees have a chance to put the Rockies, the first official hide the knives watch.
I mean, that's got to be a brutal feeling, man. Two weeks ago, you're like, we are grinding and in it, and now you're like, is it over?
Yeah. Let's move on to... You got it?
En fuego.
I'm on fire, baby.
We nailed it.
That was bad.
Like Wago?
Like Wago.
But I've never done the Wago.
You didn't do
what were you expecting?
For you to do the Dirt Nasty song.
I wasn't going to do the Dirt Nasty part. I was just doing En Fuego.
Yeah, I was expecting the Dirt Nasty
part. No soundboard has been tough.
Yeah, my laptop broke.
Laptop is broke, so we are running our own soundboards. You roll, Jim.
Brandon Crawford, remember him? He's been in the league a while now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw him on the field.
Yeah.
I used to think he kind of had like a nice swag or look to him.
You fully turned on... Who has a good head of lettuce in Major League Baseball? Right
Bryce Harper.
Okay.
Tanaka.
I wouldn't say Tanaka's got a bowl of lettuce.
Oh, like long hair?
No. Yeah.
No, but
like Harper, I'll allow.
He's got great hair.
Yeah. Once it starts getting too greasy, you're out.
Brandon Crawford was looking caveman-esque.
Yeah.
And I didn't remember him looking as caveman-y, but maybe he was caveman with the bat. I used to think Brandon Crawford was like a little cutie out there. I don't know.
Okay.
I thought the ladies thought he was attractive, and then I was like, I don't think so anymore. 7-for-15 with 3 home runs, 10 RBIs, 5 runs scored. They scored 40 runs in this series. He accounted for 15 of those 40.
Yeah.
10 RBIs, 5 runs. So that's really good. Good for him.
He had a huge day. He had the, what was it? He had 5 hits. It was the first game of the doubleheader. He had 5 hits and 8 RBIs, 2 home runs. Again, against my Colorado Rockies pitching. Jim, I'm at Talking Jake, Twitter, social media. I need a Giants fan to reach out to me because I have a take on Brandon Crawford, but I don't know if it's right.
Okay.
So that's really putting myself out there.
Yeah.
Brandon Crawford is really good defensively.
Yeah.
I love watching him play defense. We caught a little bit of that late night Mets game last night that's not a part of this series. Love him defensively. With the bat, I feel like he had one good year. He won the Silver Slugger. I feel like Brandon Crawford, and again, correct me, Giants fans, that he has like 3 huge games every year. And like, if you took those out, his stats would be pretty rough. And I know that sounds a little obnoxious, but I don't know. Like, if you have an outfielder that has a 32 home run season and you take away his 3 biggest games, he's still going to have a good year, you know? I just feel like Brandon Crawford, like, Jim, I'm looking at this right now. He had a 2-homer game against Baltimore, so there's 2 of his home runs earlier this year. I just mentioned he had the 2-home run, 8 RBI against Colorado. So on the season, he has 9 homers. So if you take those away, I mean, my guy has, what, 5 homers on the season? So I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. If any of our Giants fans want to correct me or tell me something else I should know about B-Craw, I'm here for it.
You are?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I want to know more. I want to know if that's as asinine as it gets.
Well, he had a really good series.
Or if your ass is a 10.
Ooh.
Well, you got a couple other swingers on here.
Ooh, just did bad stuff on the thing. Keston Hiura.
Your guy.
I'm guessing Japanese player.
Your guy. He's a big-time prospect.
Yeah. Oh, he's not Japanese. He actually, he's Japanese in ethnicity. Right. I think he's American. I think he is, I think he's from UC Irvine.
Irvine. What up? He is from UC Irvine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
3 games, 8-for-11, Jake.
Yes, sir. Hit, that young fella.
On fuego.
And dirt nasties in fuego.
Means on fire, baby.
We got it.
1 triple, 1 home run, 3 doubles, only 4 RBIs and 4 runs scored, which I thought was kind of crazy for like 8-for-11. Must not have just come up at good opportunities. But 8-for-11 in 3 games for a young guy, rookie.
And by the way, homeboy's having a season.
Yeah, I saw that.
He's hitting .323, 9 homers, 33 games. Yeah. Dude's raking .992 OPS.
How many games has he played? 39, you said?
33 games, 9 home runs.
Yeah.
Hitting .323.
Keystone, so. Nice. Tyler O'Neill?
Tyler O'Neill, power hitting outfielder for your St. Louis Billikens. So close.
So close.
Ah, I had it.
He went 7-for-12 with 3 home runs.
Yeah.
And he had 2 hits in each game. 2 hits, 2 hits, 3 hits, I believe. So they spread it out well. 6 RBIs, 7-for-12. Tyler O'Neill, St. Louis Cardinals?
Yeah.
I'm guessing a lot of people don't know the names Keston Hiura, and I'm probably saying that one wrong. And Tyler O'Neill, pretty confident in my pronunciation of Tyler O'Neill.
Yeah. Oh, you nailed that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's on the cards. He's got some pop in his stick. He's 34 games, hitting .314 with an .891 OPS. So he's still young. He's 24. So there are a couple. Jim, how about this?
How about you?
A couple young guys in the NL Central.
Ooh.
Keep your eye on them. All right.
Tyler O'Neill hit a walk off at one point, I'm guessing, and they ripped his shirt off.
Mm.
And it's kind of like a good look for him. Like, let me say this. If he's got a girlfriend,
right,
and she saw that they ripped his shirt off after the celebration, I don't know when this was, she's not embarrassed.
Tyler O'Neill, Canadian guy, Jim.
She's a little giggly that this is what he got to show off.
You sure? Oh, yeah. That is a good pick.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, we got some more here, too.
He's got a little me vibe to him, huh?
No, completely.
With that chest tattoo and just roped up?
No. I couldn't.
Those are some fun picks, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, they're, seems like they were doing this for a while.
Ripping his shirt
Jeez.
Off. Tyler O'Neill, good for you.
Yeah, both guys were previously top 100 prospects. Hiura was like number 6 by Baseball Prospectus 1 year, so... watch those guys in the NL Central. Jim, great call.
Thanks.
Just en fuego.
Thanks, man.
I want to get a couple arms on there.
Yeah.
We don't want to leave them out.
Well, I've got arms.
Speaking of your guy
and
beautiful hair.
Dog face.
Mikey Clevinger.
I like Clevinger. He's like a good personality for baseball.
11 innings pitched, 18 Ks. He's getting it going. And I want to give our guy, we skipped over him quickly before.
What do you mean 11 innings pitched, 18 Ks? He started 2 games in this
yes.
series?
No,
oh, his last 2
series.
Games.
Yeah. Whoa. I was told in Fuego we could go outside the boundaries.
I think you just have to say how many games. Because you say 11 innings pitched, that could be 3 games, it could be 2, I don't know.
Whoa. We'll talk about that after. And then Hu Darvish, his last 2, 12 innings pitched, 0 earned runs.
Hu
Darvish, and he gets his first win at Wrigley. Just a year and a half late.
Yep.
But good for you. You get the monkey off your back, get it going. And I put down some honorable mentions. Altuve's hot. Pujols was swinging a good stick. Good for you, Albert. Bogarts has been raking for the Sox. Also, Erod for the Sox. Couple good starts. And Garrett Cole, dude. I'm starting to get freaked out by the Astros. He now leads the AL in strikeouts, and his stats were stupid. I can't even say them.
All right, cool. Let's move on. Next segment. Who got mad?
Who got mad, Jim?
Who got mad? So many people got mad. It was too much. They became Boone got mad.
I'll get Boone out of the way.
Boone's out of the way. We talked about
Boone.
Him. Kapler got mad twice.
Yeah.
First time he was right. Next time he kind of knew he was wrong. It was the weirdest conversation I've
seen.
Right. First time.
But he was leaning into the last one.
Last time. The Dodgers, in the game one, the Dodgers were up like 12-2. Dodgers hit a home run, and then their pitcher hits Justin Turner on a curveball. It was clearly not intentional. Even the Dodgers laughed at the ump like, that was a curveball. Why are you throwing him out? Like, that's crazy. Kapler got mad. Kapler actually didn't get ejected that game, I don't think. The pitcher just did. Next game, Neris, we talked about this. After Verdugo home run throws at Freeze's head shoulders, he gets kicked out. Now Kapler comes out and he's complaining about yesterday, and the ump's like, yesterday was whatever. This one's warranted.
Yeah.
And he got kicked out. He got mad. Pujols and Astros got mad. We talked about that a little bit. So we kind of covered it because these people got so mad, it became a storyline.
Yeah. Yeah. That's we mentioned Pujols, we mentioned Dodgers Phils. They got mad at each other.
They got mad.
Jump into walk-off watch?
Walk-off watch. Walk-off. I only have 2. I might have missed one.
Might have missed one. I can do a quick scroll, see if anything. We mentioned Mr. Anderson.
Brian Anderson for the Marlins.
Brian Anderson for your Marlins.
Koopa Loop got on.
Big Marlins.
Koopa Loop. Garrett Cooper gets on, bottom 9. Anderson comes up, hits him in. I think he had 2 hits on the day. He had left 3 on base earlier, so this was kind of nice for him.
Yeah.
Good for him.
And then
Schwarber
one was good.
Yeah, Schwarber's. I like Schwarber a lot.
Schwarber's a tough guy to dislike.
Yeah. Definitely talks like this a little bit. I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, I don't know.
Talks like this a little bit.
Okay. Okay. How would you describe that?
A guy who wears shorts in the winter.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah. I think they have a similar sound.
He's a good
sound.
Chicago vibe.
Yeah, I think they have a similar sound.
Where's Schwarber from? Where do you think Schwarber grew up?
Midwest somewhere.
I'm from a city in the Midwest. Kyle Schwarber. Oh, and how about this? I'll throw you on the spot. How many career homers do you think Schwarber has?
100 and... I don't know, man. That's like... I don't know.
That was a rude question.
Yeah.
93.
I was going to...
I was
close. Okay.
Follow your heart. Born in Ohio, high school in Ohio, Indiana University guy.
I mean, Schwarber is Ohio. Yeah, it's like Ben Roethlisberger, Schwarber, shorts in the wintertime, talks a little bit like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the most Midwest guy. I love Schwarber.
21 homers this year, 91 games.
Good for him.
Good for you, Schwarbo.
Good for you. And then those are the two I saw. I don't know if there was another one. Might have missed it. So crazy hectic week for us.
Yell at us. Yeah, we were...
We need your guys' help.
Yeah. You guys need to help us.
We have a Twitter account. It's not in use yet. It is talkingbaseball_. But yeah, we need slump watch. We need who got mad watch. We need call up watch. We need your guys' help.
We admit it's impossible to watch every baseball game.
Impossible.
We did the math.
Impossible.
We didn't want to.
Yeah.
We didn't want to, but there's like 30 hours of baseball a day. It's impossible. So yeah, you guys, please get involved.
There was no debuts unless there was a debut yesterday, which
no,
we missed.
No, I looked it up. I think we missed. There was no call-up, so I think that brings us to
awards. I'm going to go first. I don't know if I get to go first.
No,
I'll go first.
I think you're the go first guy today.
All right. My award is The Little Things.
The Little Things.
It's the little things. The little things make me who I am today. Good Charlotte.
Mm.
Ooh. The Little Things award
You're
goes
taking
to...
taking a player from the Charlotte team.
No. Okay. Absolutely not.
The Rays haven't moved there yet. Go on.
Chris Bryant.
Chris Bryant.
Chris Bryant. Cubs on the mind.
Still thinking Schwarber. Chris Bryant.
Chris
okay.
Bryant currently leads the league in going first to third.
Ooh.
Which is something...
You're on a big base running kick. Because the Yankees are terrible at it.
No, I'm on a big, what doesn't get talked about on broadcast that the casual fan should know about that can impact the game? And going first to third is huge. He's 6'5", Jake.
Yeah.
And very attractive.
Pretty eyes.
Pretty eyes. So, like, you don't expect him to be the grinder type.
Yeah. You don't think his focus is on base running. You think he's like, I'm going to hit a homer today.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
No, he's a ball player.
Ball player.
Like that.
Leads league has 15 first to thirds on singles. On singles, this was.
Okay.
It leads the league right now. Javi Baez is up there as well, his teammate, so that's good. But, yeah, little things, man. Chris Bryant's a star.
Yeah.
He's a superstar in this league and still doing the little things every day.
Yeah, man. Let me sink my teeth in Chris Bryant a little bit, cause
disgusting. Take it back.
No, I'll.
He does not want your teeth in him.
I'll do it again.
I saw. He DM'd me.
27 years old now for KB, dude. He's having a big year. 3.6 WAR, 20 homers, .299 batting average. And Jim, it kind of gets overlooked. Like the Cubs still move him all over the field. Like, remember when he came up and everyone's like, wow, Chris Bryant, big-time third base prospect, and then they were throwing him in, like, center field and left field, and everyone's like, what are you doing, Cubs? Dude, he's a...
How many positions has he played this year?
He's played the 5-9-7 in the 3, Jim.
Wowzer.
So corner outfield, corner infield.
Wowzer.
Which is, hey, it's nice to have that
looks
guy.
Looks like mostly third base.
Nice to have that guy in the roster. He's putting together a pretty good career, Jim.
Yeah, he's good. He does the little things as well, which is why he got the Little Things Award.
I guess he's kind of... He won the MVP in 2016.
He's not... Let's see. 62... 57 games started at third base, 18 in right field, 9 in left field, 3 at first base.
That Rizzo guy's pretty good. I guess that's why when we went to winter meetings this year, someone like pulled when we were talking to like this round table of old baseball men, they brought up what?
Old baseball men.
It really was.
Calcaterra's like 40.
Outside of him,
okay.
Average age I think started with a 6 burger. Anyways, he won the MVP in his second year. Someone told me there we were talking overrated players, Harper came up. Someone was like Chris Bryant. And I was like, is he? I don't know. I think he's pretty good. And I guess when you win the MVP your second season, your expectations do go a little higher.
Yeah.
So good for Chris. Having a big year. He's going to get paid soon.
Oh, yeah. All right. Who's your award?
Jimmy, my award is going to Mr. Worldwide.
Pitbull?
Mr. 305.
Pitbull.
That was a big hint. It's a big hint.
Pitbull.
It's Pitbull. Nice. My favorite rap artist, Pitbull. No, Jim. I'm going to one of my favorite young players in baseball right now.
Fernando Tatis.
Jordan Yamamoto.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we're going to the Miami Marlins, And Jim, I think it's funny, we talked a lot about pitching this episode and who's available, who's not available, who's going to make the trade, and Fuego. Should I just go through everything we did?
Yeah.
Jim, Jordan Yamamoto.
Marlins.
23 years old on the Marlins.
Mm-hmm.
Hawaii guy.
Yep.
Mahalo.
Mahalo. St. Louis High School in Hawaii.
Six starts this year. 34 innings pitched. He's only given up 15 hits in 34 innings. He has given up 17 walks, so there's some control stuff there.
Oh, my God.
He's a little scared of attacking the zone. His whip is still 0.94, so he's not letting guys on base. Guys are hitting 134 against him. He has a 1.59 ERA, and he's 4-0, Jim. And the other thing that I wanted to get across here was, A, good job, young fella. We're proud of you. B, and this is something that I don't want to come off as obnoxious, Yanks fan, Jim, but could you imagine if this guy was on the New York Yankees or the Red Sox or the Dodgers or the Cubs? Like, the publicity this guy would be getting would be unbelievable. But I bet there's a couple people out here that are listening. It's the first time they've heard of Jordan Yamamoto. So I wanted to give Mr. 305 some love, and anytime I can reference Pitbull, I'm going to do it. So good for you, Jordan. Keep twirling it, and maybe Jeter's going to figure out something with the fishies, or in 2 years you'll be traded to a good team.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I mean, genuinely think about if he was doing this on the Yankees, the kind of fever pitch we would have for Jordan Yamamoto.
Yeah. The walks are brutal because he should be going so much deeper into games.
Yeah. I mean, that's a classic kind of young guy thing. He's scared of contact right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, hey, if you're doing it to a 1.59 ERA, that's okay.
That's okay.
That's okay.
That's okay. All right, so what was the award?
Mr. Worldwide.
Why?
It's Pitbull's nickname. Mr. 305.
I don't know that one. Not hip enough. I don't know the 305.
Pitbull's a big Miami guy. It's the 305.
Is the area code?
So he's Mr. Worldwide, Mr. 305. So he's got both.
Dale.
So Yamamoto is currently Mr. 305, and he's now adding that to his.
Doesn't Pitbull say Dale or something like that a lot?
Might.
I don't know. I don't listen to Pitbull.
Doesn't seem like you're as locked into Pitbull as I want you to be by the end of this show.
Not a fan.
We'll get you there.
All right, favorite segment of time?
Everyone's favorite segment of the show.
Elevator talk.
Elevator talk. Elevator talk is when, if you are in the elevator, you walk in, you're going down 50 floors. It's going to be a doozy.
Wow.
And it's a slow-moving Vader.
Oh, it's old school.
You walk in there.
It's a dumb waiter.
You're kind of nervous, but you like... You want to talk to people to get rid of the nervous?
Yeah, okay.
So you have to talk.
Yeah.
You walk into the elevator, guy's got the hat on
yeah.
of this team,
yeah.
and you got to talk for 2 minutes.
Yeah, you just need some fodder.
What team's it going to be?
So how this works is we're going to spin a wheel. We're going to talk about whatever team comes up. Here we go. The wheel is being spun. We can nix it if we thought Colorado Rockies. We did too much Rockies.
We did
already.
Too much Rockies already.
Spin it
Sorry,
again.
Rocks.
You already know what to say. The Rockies got in the elevator. Next up, San Francisco Giants. We did a little bit.
Giants. I think that's a good team.
It's
they're kind of hot, Jim.
Well, you can if you see a Giants fan in the elevator right now, you can definitely say, "Yo, that was vintage Bumgarner, huh?"
Vintage Bum, yeah. I mean, we're stealing that from their next series, but Bumgarner threw a gem last night. Jim, you bring up the whole Brandon Crawford thing. All my questions. Be like, what's up with Crawford? Like, is he what's going on with him? Is he swinging the stick? Is he not swinging the stick?
Well, do you think we're going to trade Bumgarner? We're going to keep him? I mean, right now, they're like two games out in the wild card or something like that, so you could ask them, do you think this is for real? If they ask you that, I would say no.
Jim, you know who's been the best hitter on the Giants this year?
Tyler Austin. Don't tell me it's Tyler Austin.
No.
Okay, thank God. Belt?
No.
Voit? Vogt?
Vogt's up there, but he's only played 49 games.
Yeah, he wasn't supposed to be
he's
good.
Got a pretty good OPS, good OPS plus, all of that.
Posey?
I think it's uncontested, Jim. Pablo Sandoval.
Whoa.
87 games, 11 home runs, 35 RBIs, 824 OPS. It's a little bit the Giants offense doesn't have a lot going on, But I think he is the guy. So you go Panda.
And you thought he was going to just be out of baseball when he was in Boston.
Oh, yeah.
You thought he was going to be fully
out of baseball. Himself out of the league. Jim, I guess the other thing, and this is what's jumping out to me, Samardzija's having a solid year. And he was looked at as to be kind of this dead baseball contract. He's got a 3.93 ERA, 105 innings, 89 strikeouts. Not the same shark that we were hoping to find, but he's having a solid year.
Yeah,
Drew Pomeranz is awful.
Yeah, and the next Drew Pomeranz is awful. The next series the Giants are playing is against the Mets right now, and it's kind of two teams where their fans can act like there's hope left, but yeah. There's really not.
Right.
But they're just having fun. And the Giants are 19-11 in their last 30, 8-2 in their last 10. They've been pretty good, man.
Yeah. They
just want a walk-off, an extra innings walk-off.
And they got Bochy going on in his last season. So maybe they get some serious magic rolling.
I think Bochy's going to fully not care soon.
Oh, I disagree. I think he's going down swinging.
Have you seen some of his ejections?
Oh, yeah.
Some of Bochy's ejections are like, baseball's passed me by. I need to get out of this league. I don't belong anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Just dejected by it, the whole experience of new baseball.
He came out to argue something yesterday, and he just came out of the dugout, and he thought he was going to do the manager walk, and he just starts pointing and screaming, and everyone's like, whoa, are you even involved yet? And that's just how he's operating.
Yeah, it's nuts. It's funny.
It's funny.
Some ejection, he comes out, and like, you're gone. He's like, Gardenhire's going through the same struggles in Detroit.
Donovan Solano. I think he had the walk-off last night that we're not talking about.
Alonso hits a home run to give the Mets the lead, and you're like, okay, it's the 14th whatever inning it is. We'll talk about this next episode.
Yeah.
Tune in
next time for Donovan Solano.
If you're listening on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, please. If you're listening on Spotify, keep listening. If you're listening on the iTunes app, a rating and a review, 5 stars, and some nice words would go a long way, especially as we are in our early growth phase of the show. We appreciate you guys hanging out with us. Thank you very much. Go baseball. Go baseball.
Go baseball. Talking baseball.